All right. Well, good evening, friends. My name is Brian. If you have your Bibles, we're in Exodus chapter 3. That's where we'll be at for the night. If you don't have your Bibles, we'll be in Exodus 3. So you'll just have to deal with that. Guys, welcome to camp. It's been a heck of a year. My wife is a sixth grade math teacher, and man, she missed her students. And I know that you guys miss being with your friends, and it's just kind of good to have a new sense, at least a new sense of normalcy coming, right? At least we'll just keep praying that that's what God's going to allow to happen. Hey, before we jump into this, again, my name is Brian. I'm married to a hot one who loves Jesus, and I know that you look at my face and think there's no way, and I say, ha, 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 there's proof. And so there's hope for everyone. Just know that there's hope for everyone. I've got two boys at home. I've got a 17-year-old son. He's a senior this year, and I got a 15-year-old. He's going to be a sophomore, and he couldn't be here this week with us. But friends, we're going to hopefully enjoy our time together when we come together in chapel. Hey, let's pray. That's enough for me. Let's pray. We're going to jump into tonight. Father, we pause before we speak to you, for you are God. And it's so easy for us to just jump into kind of our normal. We just start going into our lists and what we want you to do and how we want you to fix it. And Father, reminded again, watching and listening to what we just looked at, and you're not the barista of Starbucks. You're not the one that just takes order and we have to get it done as quick as we can or as quick as you can, or else we don't give you a tip. It's not how it works. But God, you are so good and you're so great, and I pray that you would convey that tonight, that somehow you would be able to reveal through a feeble attempt of making much of you how great you truly are, that God, you are holy. So God, I pray that you would take this time. I pray you keep my thoughts and my opinions, my agenda to myself. I pray that you'd give us teachable hearts to receive. God, for those who are here who just love you with everything, I pray that this causes them to love you more and to want to worship you more. And for those who are here that can't stand you, don't believe in you, don't like you, Father, I pray that you would draw them one step closer in intimacy with you, whatever it takes. We'll trust you in the process. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone who agrees says, amen. In Exodus chapter 3, starting verse 1, now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And so Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why this bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place in which you are standing is holy ground. Now pause there for just a second. We got to remember that for the first 40 years of Moses' life, he lived in Pharaoh's family. For the next 40 years, because he took out one of the taskmasters, for the next 40 years, he's on the run. And actually, he's not really on the run. He just finds a remote place. He gets married, and then he has a job of a shepherd. And you figure it's got to be a little bit boring, because he sees a bush on fire, and he goes, I'm going to go look at that. Why? Because this is getting boring. So he goes to look at it, and he realizes it's not burning. And then it says the angel of the Lord. And friends, most scholars believe that at least in this phrase, at least in this moment, the angel of the Lord, this would be Jesus pre-incarnate. And he calls him out by name two times, Moses, Moses. And friends, I need you to get this, that God knows you by name. You're not just one of the 8.5 billion people. He's just like, oh, you're one of the masses. He knows you by name. He calls you by name. For those of you who have a relationship with Jesus, the reason that you do is because the Father called you. And he called you by name. The only reason I have a relationship with God is because God initiated that relationship with me. If the Bible says that no one seeks after God, no one. But God is the one who initiates everything. Then we have to apply the same principle to us. He says, Moses, Moses. And then I used to picture this like, don't come any closer. Like he was mad. It's like, stop. It's like, I just pictured him just so ticked. And yet here I think he's protective. Guys, do you realize the Bible says about God that he actually dwells in unapproachable light? If I was to go into the very presence of God in this body, I would die because of how holy he is, because of how set apart he is, because of how mighty and majestic and glorious he is, because of how pure and sinless he really is. See, I think in this moment, God is being protective, where he says, stop. And then he says, take off your shoes. You ever wonder why? It's like, why? This seems weird. And I think it's this. How often do we just kind of go throughout the day and just kind of treat God like everything else? And what if in that moment God needed to get his attention to get him to do something different so that he did not treat him exactly the same way as he treats everything else? Friends, have you ever noticed that Jesus has kind of turned into the first happy hippie? I'm talking about, he's got that long hair, got a cool beard. And you ever seen the old school Jesus movies? He has this weird English accent. He's Jewish, but he has this English accent. And I don't even try. Has anyone ever tried to do an accent and just realize you suck at it? And that's me. It's like every time I do it, it's all of a sudden it's like English, then Australian, and then just like lazy country drawl. Like I don't understand. It just kind of flows out. But that's kind of how we picture him. But when all of a sudden you kind of look at this, okay, this is who he really is. He says, no. You are standing on holy ground. This is different. And I need you to see it differently. Do you realize when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he actually said this. When you pray, say this, our Father. Because the word Father is actually the word in Aramaic, it's the word Abba. The word Abba actually means Papa or Dada. It's what a one-year-old says, or what, however old that little one calls Dad for the first time. It's like, it's Papa, Dada. I remember the first time my oldest, I called home, and then my wife, as we were talking, said, hey, Tyler wants to talk to you, and I know what that meant. It meant I'm gonna sit there on the phone for about, I don't know, 30 seconds, and he's just going to make noises. So I'm like, hello, and he's like, ping, and he's just letting noises come out. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, my kid, spiritually gifted with tongues. He's like, it's just going crazy. Like, here he is. He's just making all these noises. And so I'm just listening, and I go, no way. And I'm actually pretending like he's telling me a story, and I try to get him more excited. He's like, and he just keeps going. And then at the end, I hear my wife go, okay, say bye. And he goes, ba-ba-ta-ta. I know. I almost went and bought him a pony, like in that moment. I'll spend all the savings. What did you just call me? And then he's not on the phone. Like, I have to listen to the 30 seconds of just gibberish. And then over here, he calls me Dada, and then he goes. I'm like, you ungrateful little wretch. Like, how dare you? Get back over here. Get back over here. And you say, guys, it just melted my heart. Because when I heard it, I went, oh my gosh, it's personal. So when Jesus says, I want you to pray like this, our Abba, our Papa, our Dada. Because I've never walked into my dad. My dad's still alive. I've never walked in where he's like, Father, Father, may I speak with thee? Never done it. I may do it to make fun of him or something, but it's just playful. It's like, I don't go, Father. It's Dad. But then he says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Friends, we're supposed to approach God both to the extreme that he's Dad and to the extreme that he's holy. And yet I feel like we live in this pendulum, right? For some, him, God is holy, that's easy. God is holy is, I live in that. And the Abba part's hard for you. And for others of you, you just live all over here, but this side of his holiness is hard for you. And friends, we're supposed to approach God as Father, as Papa, and as holy. So what's it mean to be, like when we say holy, what does it mean? It means he's set apart. He's completely different than us. For some reason, we turned holy into what? Serious. Terrifying. Now he is. He said, oh, God's not, he's not, I'm not afraid of God. Really? Like you're afraid of the dentist, but you're not afraid of God? I mean, think through what you just said. You're not afraid of the God who has no limits at all. And yet every other person that's somehow come into his presence or seen some type of vision or stood before the angels of God, every single one of them is terrified to the point they have to be told, don't be afraid. And then all of a sudden we show up. I ain't afraid of him. I got him. Friends, I think we'd have to come back to this for just a second. So what does holy mean? It's me set apart. He's completely different. He doesn't think like we do. He doesn't speak like we do. He doesn't look at circumstances and situations the way that we do. He doesn't have only two or three options. He has infinite options on how it is that he's going to bring things about. But it doesn't always mean serious. So picture this. So picture holiness like an umbrella. And under that umbrella are all the characteristics that make up who God is. The fact that God is love, and he is gracious and forgiving and merciful, and he's just, and he has wrath, and he extends vengeance. I mean, when you look at who he really is, he's holy. And so he's standing, he's looking at this bush. He's like, no, don't come any closer. Verse 6, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, watch it, for he was afraid to look at God. Guys, you realize that even in Revelation chapter 1, any Revelation fans? Really? Because I don't get it. Like, I read some of that stuff and think, I'm going to pass out when I see all that stuff. Guys, you realize that there's beings with eyes all over their body? That is something a little terrifying. And what if they all blink at the same time? Just let that thought sink in while you go to sleep at night. Can you imagine if it's like that? Imagine they don't have 20/20 vision, all these different contact lenses. It takes me forever to get ready in the morning. This sucks. Guys, here's in John chapter 1. Now, this is John. This is the beloved disciple. Think about it. When you read the book of John, John gives himself his own title. He says, I'm the beloved disciple. And I'm like, I used to think you're an arrogant jerk. Like, you think that you're his favorite. But friends, if you could actually believe that you are the beloved of God, I think that your life would look completely different. If you actually believe that you are God's beloved, that he actually loved you. I don't think it's arrogant anymore. I think he actually accepted his true identity, that he's truly loved by God. And so here's John during the Last Supper. He actually leaned up against Jesus. He was tight, one of the three guys that Jesus always took away or took to the side. Then you get to Revelation, and he describes this. Okay, so I'm looking at Jesus. His eyes, it's like they're on fire. And his feet look like burnished bronze. And oh my gosh, when he speaks, it's like these rushing waters. And his face shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. And he pulls his sword out of his mouth. And the next verse says that John fainted as though dead until Jesus came up and says, no, don't be afraid. The same way Moses is sitting there, I can't look upon the face of God, it terrifies me. And then watch what God says. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the afflictions of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land, or out of that land, to a good and broad land. Friends, do you ever feel like God just forgot about you? Like, over the last 14, 16 months, have any of you ever struggled? You don't have to put your hands up on this, but maybe in your cabin time, just be honest. In the last 14 to 16 months, do you feel like maybe God forgot to pay attention? Guys, do you realize that everything that's happened, as hard as it is to understand, is still under the sovereign rule and reign of God? And maybe by show of hands, how many of you have seen anything good come out of the last 14 to 16 months? And friends, how many of you would think that maybe those things wouldn't have happened had it not been for God's intervention and what it is that he wants and allows to happen? And friends, he knows what he's doing, and maybe we don't understand it at times. But that does not mean that he's not great and good. Maybe our perspective's off. Maybe there were the ones looking at it incorrectly. Isn't it amazing how quick we are to tell God, you need to do this. And if I were God, then I would. And it's weird. We'll say that. Friends, he's keeping 8.5 billion people alive all at the same time. And we can't even keep our rooms clean. Isn't it amazing how quickly we jump into arrogance when we come before God? And if I were God, friends, I am so thankful that you nor I am God. I'm so thankful that he is. But did you notice? He says, I have seen the affliction of my people. And I know where they are. I know they're in Egypt. And I've heard their cry because they're taskmasters. And I know their sufferings. I know God knows it. God sees it. And he says, and I have come down to deliver them. Okay, so you realize that in the nature of God, under his holiness is Savior. Under his holiness is this concept of rescuer. It's in who he is. And then when you read through and what it is that he's going to go through, you get to verse 11. And Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, but I will be with you. Now I think that's God's polite way of saying, wait, who are you? That doesn't matter who you are. I'll be with you. I'm just wondering, does that mean anything to us anymore? Or if we painted God to be really small? Guys, growing up, my dad was a cop. And when I was about 10, I got to go on a ride along. Going to work with dad when he's a cop, come on. That's awesome. And so I'm in the front seat, and he gave me this radar gun, this massive. And I felt like Chewbacca. You know what I'm talking about? It's like, I'm just, like, that's me. I'm in the front seat. And he's like, okay, I don't give anyone a ticket unless they're going faster than 15 miles an hour. And I'm like, what? I'm waiting for the one that's like one over. I'm like, get him, Dan. Chase him down. Hit him. I'm just like, as a 10-year-old, you just always watch the cop shows going, this is how it works. My dad was pretty lenient with stuff. And he told me what his call sign was for the night. And so I'd always listen to it and then listen to what they're sending us to. And so later on in the night, you hear his number and he goes, okay, this number. And I thought, oh, this is big. All these cops are going, bar fight. And in my mind, I'm like, yes. Because in my mind as a 10-year-old, I'm in the front seat of a police car going, partner. Like, I'm going to get in a bar fight with dad. Mom's not around. This is going to be awesome. Like, that's what I pictured. And so we pull up, and my dad jumps in. He goes, hey, stay here. And he locks me in. I'm like, ah. Oh. And I felt like a puppy. As he's run away, I'm like, ah, oh, partner. And then he goes away. Then he comes back with a friend. I didn't know this guy. And he sticks the guy in the back seat. Right? And then he shut the door, and he ran off again because his partners are still in there. The place is going nuts. And so I'm a 10-year-old in the front seat, and I know there's a cage, but when you're 10, you picture the dude in the back seat, like part of the X-Men. Like, you're just freaking out. Like, I think he's going to come through and just rip my throat up. So I'm just sitting there. But he's breathing on me. I can feel it. I mean, that's what it sounds like as a 10-year-old. And then all of a sudden, they come with another friend, and my dad gets in the car. And I'm just sitting there, and the dude starts to talk to me. He addresses me, and I don't look back. I'm just sitting there, probably shaking, probably wet myself in the moment. I'm like, well, hopefully that cleans out. The dude starts talking to me, and my dad goes, don't you dare talk to my son. And I was like, yeah, you want some of this? And I said, I'm ready to get in a fight. Like, let him out, Dan. I'll take him down and smash his face. Like, I was ready to go. 10, I was ready to go. Why? Because I was all that? No. Because dad was in the car. It was all about dad. Like, dad could handle it. Guys, dad at the time was 6'4", 280 pounds. Guys, his duty weapon was a 6-inch barrel 357 Magnum. When I look at my dad, and I respect him so much, but growing up, I was also a little terrified of him. Guys, don't get me wrong. Like, I'd get in trouble at home. My brother and I, we'd probably do something often. And it's not like mom wouldn't lay into us. She'd let us know. Has anyone ever seen the old school Jurassic Park? I'm gonna just try, let me try to describe mom that will make sense. You remember the cute little ones? They just kind of walk up like they're curious. Yeah. And they're like, And then they go, yeah! That's mom. We called her Flame Woman because you just didn't want to tick her off because she'd let us have it. And she started in chapter 1 of volume 1 of her lecture, and then she'd repeat it, and she'd get to volume 2, and we're just sitting there going, we might die today. Jesus, now's the rapture. Let it happen. Or take my life. Make her feel guilty. I don't care. Just get me out of here. And then when she's done, she's like, okay, you understand? We're like, yes, we understand. We're so sorry. Wait till your dad gets home. No, not another one. Not another one. He always drove a motorcycle home, police motorcycle, so he had all of his gear on. And you go, and then so he'd always honk the horn, and our thing was to run in the backyard, open the garage, and we'd be waiting there going, yeah. Then we'd get on there and play with the siren. That's just kind of how we'd roll. He knew if we didn't open the garage, we were in trouble. So I'm sitting there and I hear him honk. I'm like, oh, this is it. This is it. This is it. Like, we're going to die. And we're separated. I'm in my room. My brother's in his room. It's like we're in our own cells. Like, this is it. And then you hear his boots. And in my mind, I'm like, this is it. I can feel my heart just like coming out of my chest. My stomach's up in my throat. It's just nasty. And so all of a sudden the door opens and it sounded like Darth Vader's lair. He says, Brian, here, we need to have a chat. I would love to. What do you want to talk about? Why don't you tell me what happened? I'm like, I don't want to do that. Because I can think of four things and I ain't going to tell you which one that is. Why don't you tell me? I've been in this family long enough. I don't want to incriminate myself to you. So we'd have the chat, but guys, I had this holy respect for him. Like a respect, fear, love. I know he's got my back. But isn't it amazing when we picture God as big and massive, we actually walk through life with a little bit more boldness. Why? Because Dad's got it. And I belong to him and he's mine. And guys, it's not about us. It's always about him. But down to verse 13, it says, then Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, if the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, well, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. In other words, I will be who I will be. Why wouldn't Moses ask, can you just tell me your name? Because there were a lot of people groups in that day that believed if you knew the secret name of their God, then you could control that God. And so it's almost like Moses is saying, hey, tell me your secret name, then I can kind of get you to do some things. And God says, I'm not going to be controlled by anyone. Do you realize that God is about himself? He's for us, not against us, but friends, it's all about his will. Do you realize that God does not vote red or blue? He does not jump onto our side to slap other people on the other side. He is about himself, and we are on his team. It is about him. When he says, I am who I am, in other words, you will not control me. You will not move me. I will be whom I will be. I will be what I will be. Bless you. I will do whatever I want to do. Friends, I feel like a lot of times remember when I prayed and we took some time? The reason I do that is because I want to make sure that we approach God at least at times to pull back and wait and go, wait a minute, who am I talking to? Guys, do you realize that right now you are spinning on a planet at 1,000 miles an hour? Right now, this is what's happening. Right now, the earth is going 1,000 miles an hour. Do you feel it? And if you do, they got medication. Like, it's weird. It's weird. And I'm to be honest, I'm so thankful that I don't feel it. Guys, I get motion sickness on swings. No joke. I remember sitting in a park one day having a quiet time, just sitting there, and this thought came to my mind, go get on the swing. And I'm like, I'm not getting on the swing. I was like in my late 20s. There's like one kid by himself swinging, and then there's one next to him. I'm not getting on there. And the thought just kept, go on the swing, get on the swing. I'm like, who is talking to me? I'm not getting on the swing. And it just wouldn't go away. So I'm like, okay, if this is God, I'm going to get on the swing. So I got on the swing. Felt like a total idiot. Here's this little kid just going nuts, having a blast. I'm like, okay. So I start going. You imagine the parent going, what the heck is he doing there? Come here, Johnny. Why don't you get off the swing? And I'm over here going, wee! So I start going, and by the time I get going normal, I'm like, I'm starting to feel it. Guys, I get motion sickness on swings. That's why coming up mountain roads, it's an act of love. Guys, who drives? You ever made yourself so car sick you had to pull over and you were driving? I have. It sucks. So right now, I want to thank God that even though we're going 1,000 miles an hour, I don't feel it. And while we're going around, while we're spinning 1,000 miles an hour, we are going around the sun at 66,000 miles an hour. Guys, that is the worst teacups ride ever. It's horrible. So while we're spinning 1,000 miles an hour and going around the sun at 66,000 miles an hour, the sun and the nine planets, yes, I said nine. I don't know why. What do people have with Pluto? Just leave the little guy alone. It's like, what's it gonna hurt? Oh, Pluto's out. No, he's back in. Now he's out. I'm like, shut up. He's bigger than you. Just let him be. So I'm gonna make, if I make shirts, love for Pluto, I will become a millionaire because I just feel bad for the little guy. So here it is. Side note, that had nothing to do with anything. Cool. So this squirrel. Okay, so we're spinning 1,000 miles an hour. We're going around the sun at 66,000 miles an hour. And then the sun and the nine planets, we're going around the nucleus of the Milky Way galaxy at 540,000 miles an hour. What makes you think that you're in control of anything? We're just hoping we don't crash. We're just on this ride, and we don't even know we're on a ride. Guys, you realize that our Milky Way galaxy is massive. Friends, if I went from one end of the Milky Way galaxy to the other, that's about 120,000 light years wide. That means to make that trip across, give or take, I have to go the speed of light. So I have to go 186,000 miles per second for 120,000 years. And I'll get from one end to the other. And our Milky Way galaxy has some 350, 400 billion stars. And that could be a conservative number. 350 billion stars just in our Milky Way galaxy. And our Milky Way galaxy is one of hundreds of billions of galaxies, all of them having hundreds of billions of stars in all of them. And the Bible says that out of the exhale, or out of the breath of God, came all the starry hosts. That it's kind of like this. He just went, there they are. You're like, oh, but have you seen, man, when you look up, maybe not in Southern California. Okay, you ever been looking going, I just want to see a star. And you're like, there it is. And it's flashing red. Like, I just want to praise you, Lord, for that shooting star. But like at some point while you're up here, look up. Because the stars, they live here. They don't live down in Southern California. But we sit there and go, oh, twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. You know what it is? It's a big old fireball that will just melt your face. I mean, this thing is just massive. Guys, our sun came out of the exhale of God. We are 93 million miles away from that fireball. 93 million miles. There's days I walk outside going, I feel like I'm melting. Did anyone feel like that when you're below, like down below? I got in my truck, 107. I'm like, what is this? That's 93 million miles away. Have you ever just gone outside and stared at the sun? Because if you have, you need a life. Like, stop doing that. Think about it. The closest we can get to the exhale of God is 93 million miles. Any closer and we would die. God just went, pah. You can fit 1.3 million Earths inside of it. And friends, this is a tiny star. The sun is a star. It's a tiny star. The biggest one they have found, and I don't know who they are. I just trust them because they're so smart, and this dude is not. Okay, so this is the biggest star, Canis Majoris. Here's what that name actually means. Literally means the big dog. I'm like, is that not the sickest name for a star? It's like, how big is that? Oh, that's the big dog star. Yes, Canis Majoris. If I had another son, that would be his name. Canis Majoris Holland. Guys, that thing is so big, you can fit 7 quadrillion Earths inside of it. Guys, I don't understand 7 quadrillion. I think it's the national debt, but I don't remember. I don't know much after that. I mean, this thing is huge. This thing is massive. And God just went, pa-ha. And there it is. And when you think of the magnitude of the universe, which is ever expanding, do you realize that the Bible says that God he measures the universe with the span of his hand. He looks at the universe and goes, oh, it's like that big. When's the last time you told that God what to do? We have this small, tiny, minuscule picture of who God is. And how horrible of us that that's what we think of him. Friends, he is beyond us. And friends, he is so creative. Think about it. Take a caterpillar. Do you realize there are 228 distinct muscles in just the head of a caterpillar?
Do you realize someone had a job where they had to count the muscles in the caterpillar's head? Like, this guy or girl, they're like, okay, today's the day. And you bring in the caterpillar, and they're like, yes. And they just get all set, and they're up there, like 201, 202, and then somebody comes and goes, how you doing? You're like, oh, one, two, and you just start over. Like, whose job was it to figure that out? Guys, do you know how butterflies formed? There's this enzyme that's, so you have the caterpillar in this little cocoon or whatever they call it, and then this enzyme is released from his own body, which turns him into goo. He turns into almost nothing, just this goo. And then he's reborn. It's like he's reformed into a cat or into a butterfly. I sit and go, that's awesome. Because if I could do that, I just get into a cocoon, I goo myself, I come out with hair, my legs aren't as long as they are. I'm like, yeah, abs on my neck, that's how jacked I am. Guys, this is God putting things together. Do you realize that there are 1 million ants for every human being? Can you imagine if they all attacked you tonight? That's it. Thanks, guys. I'm just joking. Do you realize that there are hundreds of different types of bananas? I thought there was one. Two. The yellow one and then the organic yellow one. That's all that I know. Do you realize there's dozens of different types of tomatoes? I thought there was one. It's on an In-N-Out burger. That's all I thought. And I sit there and go, God, why make all these things? And I think he's just sitting there going, because I can. Friends, for those of you that like the arts, realize the reason that you like the arts and you have the ability, you have the talent for it, is because there's a creative God who creatively created you with that ability to be creative. There is no one more creative than God. Guys, even he made the hippo. You ever just looked at the hippo and went, really? And guys, we made a game about the hippo. It's called, right? There's no, yeah, maybe there is an app for it, but when back in the day, it was just marbles in the middle. You're like, go. Yeah, this is so fun. This is so fun. Guys, we had no life back then. And it's just like, this is all you see. Ha, ha, ha. And then you count the number. I won by one. Guys, do you realize that more humans are mauled by hippos every year than lions? Thank you. You know why? Because everyone looks at the hippo and goes, hungry, hungry hippo. Come here. Come here. Give me a hug. And then he does, and it just swallows you. It's like, it's not right. Guys, the zebra. Did you know that when a zebra gives birth, the mama zebra will take the baby zebra aside for a few months so that the baby zebra can memorize her stripes? I know, right? Because wouldn't that be horrible if she didn't? Like, think through it. Gives birth. He's out. He's like, Mom. Mom? Walks up. No. Okay, that's not Mom's voice. But how brilliant that a little zebra can all of a sudden memorize mama's stripes. I just sit there and go, are you kidding me? This is God. Guys, he made the eagle. I thought there was a couple. There's 60 different species of eagles. Do you realize that the grip strength of an eagle is 10 times the strength of a human? Did you know that an eagle can see its prey? So it was just flying up there. From 2 miles away, it can see that rabbit. From 2 miles, guys, if it locks on from 2 miles away, the rabbit's done. 2 miles. Guys, you look at this and go, you created this? And what about you? What do you see when you look in the mirror? Ladies, real quick, on a side note. Ladies, there is this pressure on you. And oh, how I pray at some point it stops. And I pray that within the family of God, you see something that's different coming from us who
us brothers of yours in Christ, that we would treat you with honor and respect. But there is a world that is saying you need to look a certain way, act a certain way. They objectify you. And then you start, some of you compare yourself with whatever picture or whatever you see of that girl saying, or that woman saying, I could just be like that. And yet you forget that they're photoshopped. I mean, they're looking at their own picture going, I wish I looked like that. Guys, Photoshop, what does it do? Again, I could have a flowing mane like Aslan the Lion. Oh, how I pray that when you look in the mirror, you realize that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Created in the very image of God, who never has made a mistake. He's never said, oops. And when he created you, he stepped back and went, oh, myself. Yeah, she's amazing. I pray that you would come to that point of understanding, that you wouldn't listen to the applause of people, but you would just strive to hear the applause of heaven. And gentlemen, I pray that you would see the same thing. Gentlemen, there's this comparison thing that we always do with each other. It's like we size each other up. It's like, oh, I could take him. I could take him. And then you see that dude walk around the corner. He's like, oh my gosh, he's like a planet. He's got no neck. His shoulders are up above his ears. I don't understand that guy. And isn't it weird that we guys, we feel the pressure that every single one of us need to know how to fix a car and build a house, like right when you're born? I got this. But what if, gentlemen, you just realize that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, created in the very image of God. Ladies, you're created in the very image of God. Not comparison with anyone else, but just realizing and accepting the fact that you are valiant sons created in the image of him. What would happen, friends, if I show of hands, does anybody else here struggle? And mine's up. Does anybody struggle with insecurity? Yep, I do. And now we're sitting there going, did I raise my hand okay? Because I'm insecure about that. We're freaking out about it. If I knew that I was created in the very image of God, maybe I wouldn't be so consumed by that. I believe that God's grown me a lot from where I was before, but I'm not there yet. Why do I bring this up? Do you realize that in your body you have 75 trillion cells? Every 3 seconds, 50,000 of them die off and are replaced by 50,000 new ones. In those 75 trillion cells, each of those cells have what's called a DNA strand. That DNA strand is pretty much a blueprint. It's like this typed out code about who you are and what you'll look like and what you won't look like and the sense of humor you have and the sense of humor some of you don't have. And it's like, you know, that's just who you are. The intellect you have and some of these struggles, like all this stuff, God's just typing it out. Guys, if I was to take the DNA strand out of one cell and stretch it, that DNA strand would be about 6 feet long. If I took all the DNA out of my body and tied it end to end, friends, that's enough DNA to go from here to the moon and back 178,000 times. So when the Bible says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, it actually means it. Do you realize that in your body you have about 100,000 miles of blood vessels? 100,000 miles of blood vessels. That's enough blood vessels to go around the earth 4 times in your body. Do you realize that the human eye sees at 576 megapixels? Guys, we're blown away. It's like, did you get the new phone? Did you get the new iPhone 78? Did you get it? Guys, it has a 40 megapixel camera. Like, no way. And yet when you zoom, it still sucks. Right? Like the eagle sees from 2 miles away, clear as a bell. We're like, zoom in. Oh, cram. Don't go that far in. Isn't it weird? We're so jacked up about it. We actually have people in the world that say, ah, the human, all of life just happened. And yet it takes engineers who are brilliant to come up with a 40 megapixel camera on a phone. And yet God's like, you're so cute. Because you're looking through a 40 megapixel camera with a 576 megapixel eyeball that I made. Friends, we got to pull back and realize that maybe God is really that impressive. And so when he looks at Moses and says, don't come any closer. Don't come any closer. Now take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. There was this one morning, I got up early and I was walking through the city that I was pastoring in a city, Pomona. I don't know if you guys heard of Pomona, but I was there super early, kind of a rough area, but I was like, I just felt like I just wanted to go pray the streets. And so I'm just walking along praying, and this thought popped in my head. And I know when people say this, like, that's the Lord. It might have been, it might not have been. I'm not that person that says, thus saith the Lord. I will tell you what God says. I believe that's what God's word is for. Yet I don't believe that God is mute. And so I'm walking along, and this thought popped in my head, take your shoes off. And I'm looking at the ground going, I don't want to. I don't know what that is. Actually, I don't know what's on any of the sidewalk. And this thought, it just kept coming to mind. Take your shoes off. So it's about 7 in the morning. I'm like, do you ever do this? It's like, well, what if somebody walks by and here I am? Like, I have my shoes in my hand and I'm standing here in my socks. They're going to start thinking, you forgot something. Those don't go on your hands. And so what did I do? I took them off. I just want to be obedient. Whether or not it's God, I didn't know. So I just took them off. Why? Because I believed in that moment a holy God was saying, take them off. I just want to be obedient because he's worth it. And he's worthy of it. Friends, what I want to see us do when we go out of here is to sit and go, okay, I don't know how to talk to that God. Because when we start thinking of him as that, we'll start approaching him in a manner that is worthy of who he is, and we might actually live the life that he has called us to live because we actually believe that he's that great. And yet for some of you, you actually picture him smaller than you, definitely not more intelligent than you. Like, think about it. When's the last time you did something that didn't make sense? When's the last time you felt like God said, I want you to do this? It didn't make any sense. Or times when you look in the scriptures going, okay, this part doesn't make sense. Do you realize, I'm just convinced if the only time I'm obedient to God is when it all makes sense, then I can guarantee you that I'm more disobedient to him than obedient. And friends, don't you want a God who is beyond you if you're going to worship him and give him everything? Friends, if he's no one more impressive than I am or than you are, is he really worthy of everything? I'll close with this. Famous last words of every preacher, but I think I mean it. Isaiah chapter 6, and this is where we're laying the plane. Isaiah chapter 6, starting in verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne. So he has this vision, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Guys, seraphim, it's like that. They're the fiery ones. They're angels that are on fire. That's impressive. Guys, if something's on fire and they seem to like it, run. So there are these beings on fire. And it says they each had 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face, with 2 he covered his feet, with 2 he flew. And one called to another and said, love, love, love. Nope. Peace, peace. Mm-mm. Holy, holy, holy. Friends, if they're saying it 3 times, they're like, this is, you have to get this. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And then I said, this was Isaiah's response to what he saw. He didn't sit there and go, dang, you look good. Wait a minute, pull out his phone and take a picture, then hashtag that mother. It's like, oh, hashtag holy. Hashtag impressive. He says, woe is me. In other words, he's saying, I'm going to die. That's exactly what it means. I'm dead. Woe is me. Why? For I'm lost. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. The King. The King. The Lord of hosts. Friends, I want us to all come to that understanding. And yet I know I can't make any of us do it. It all comes from this revelation that God gives to us. But we got to stop this idea that God, yeah, he's okay. He's all right. No, friends. Do you realize that since he's created every angelic being, none of them have ever stopped saying those words? Every angel has stood before God or knelt before God or laid down before God and just given him praise. Do you realize that all of creation is obedient to its creator except for humanity? Every bit of creation obeys the creator except us. He is holy. He is right and righteous. Friends, he's able. Does that change anything for you? For some of you that sit there and go, can he do? Friends, he's able. I have this thing I always remind myself, my community that I get to lead, my family. When something seems impossible, I just give them the reminder, impossible is God's playground. Impossible is God's playground. Friends, he is able. And he is beautiful. He's compassionate. He's divine. He's the ultimate. He's the only deity in the universe. He's the only God. He's eternal, which means he has no beginning or end. Guys, even scientists believe in this thing called the cosmological argument. You know what that is? All time, matter, and space have a beginning. At some moment in time, time, matter, and space began. That time, matter, and space has not always been. So therefore, God is outside of time, and God spoke everything into existence. And at one moment, time, matter, and space began because God said, let there be. He's eternal. He's forgiving. He's Father. He's gracious. He's holy. Friends, he's irresistible, and yet we resist, and I don't understand how that works. He is so amazing, and yet we push against him. He's joyful. Guys, do you realize that we are the ultimate killjoys, not him? Think about it. Who do you think created laughter? Was it not him? Who created humor? Was it not God? Guys, you ever met a person that has a great laugh? Like once they start laughing, you're like, keep them going. It's like they're massaging your soul. Like you just hear them laugh. Like when a one-year-old just loses it. That's why people put it on YouTube. You just sit there and go, I love this. So those people that have this great laugh, and then have you ever met the other people? That when they laugh, it sounds like demons leaving their body. Something like that. It's like right there. But guys, God created that. God created taste buds. He didn't have to. God created music. God created the concept of enjoyment. God created all this, and yet for some reason, we actually think that we know better. Friends, he's king. He's Lord. He's Messiah. He's master. He's near. He's omnipotent, which means he's all powerful, all knowing, in all places, at all times. Friends, do you realize he's in the past, present, and future, all as if it's one moment? He's peace. He's real. He's righteous. He's Savior. He's trustworthy. He's victorious. But friends, he's worthy. That's God. And that God is absolutely wild and crazy about us. He loves us. Do you believe that? Last question. Show of hands. And not like halfway Baptist. Let's get charismatic on this one. Ready? How many believe without a shadow of doubt that God loves you? Way up. Put them down. Second question. How many of you believe that God likes you? It's always a little freaky, right? You can tell the ones, it's like, the ones you know, they're like, boom, yeah,
I got this. But it's, usually I see this as like, okay, what do you mean by like? You mean like or like? What do you mean by that? Do you realize there's parts in Scripture where he calls his people his treasured possession? If I'm lying, I'm dying. Watch. Did you know there's a book in the Bible called Zephaniah? We never read it. One of my favorite verses in all the Bible is Zephaniah 3:17, last verse. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. Listen, watch. He will exult over you with loud singing. Guys, think about it. When we sing to him, he sings loudly about us. He's so holy and good and right. And oh, how I pray that we don't know how to talk to him, but hear his invitation going, don't be afraid. I'm for you, I'm not against you. Can I pray for you? Let me pray. Papa, we give you thanks. I thank you for who you are. I thank you for what you're like. I thank you that there is no other God but you. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your holiness, though. Ultimately, God, your holiness. Oh, Jesus, may that never become something that we're used to. May we always, God, please continue to reveal more of yourself, that we are always in awe. God, you are worthy of worship. That's why it's called worth-ship. Thank you, God. I pray that throughout this week, you reveal and change hearts and lives. Reveal more of who you are, that we might worship, that we might fall down, that we might surrender to you in a manner worthy of you. God, to you be all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor, for you alone are worthy. We pray this in Jesus' name.